truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
But the fact of the matter is, what it was designed to do is to bring us out of the...
Jason, the first song, I loved hearing your lower register.
I think that not only is this White House obviously extraordinarily happy...
I admit it, I'm a pervert. I came here to take pictures of your dog.
Perverts put out.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 a.m. on the East Coast, or 1 a.m. on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Will you listen to this, bud? What is this?
I get a lot of messages. I got to turn it off.
You're getting instant message, bud, man. I don't know who is that. Vivianne, your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Man, she loves you, dude. She loves you.
Yeah, I tell that girl, hot for you, man.
877-876, world famous Phil Hendry Show, and we tell the story. We like to say the truth is our bitch on this show, and I realize that maybe a bit harsh, but nonetheless, I think it says it perfectly. We're just interested in getting the straight. What's the straight scoop here, man? Quit telling me all about how Obama's this. He's got a witch doctor fright wig, and Bush looks like a cowboy. I don't care anymore about any of that. Okay, I don't care about people working overtime at the propaganda mill. I don't care about these jackasses that go into these town hall meetings and scream their guts loose about this and that having to do with health care. When you sit down and talk to one of them, they wouldn't know health care, man, from the average Barbie doll, you know. Sit down and play doctor with that. And some of these cats, by the way, that are in favor of this health care plan just because Obama likes it, you know, what is that about? Why don't you quit taking handfuls of Soma at night and think for yourself and get Obama's name? I'm telling you, and if Obama was sitting here right now, he'd give you the same news. Quit mentioning my name, okay? You ever told a friend that? Have you ever said that to somebody? He says, hey, by the way, would you quit dropping my name because it's starting to make me look bad, right? I think Obama's about that close with some of these people that are running around trying to push this plan, and their reason is, well, we're supporting our president. Well, No. That ain't gonna play, man. That's not necessarily the play. Right now, if Obama were here, he'd say, quit dropping my name. Let's start selling the plan, okay? Even if it means that you don't mention me at all. Even if it means that nobody knows who's the president anymore. We got to get this thing done. That's what I think he'd say. I don't know. Freed journalists home in the United States after North Korea pardon. Welcome back to our show, guys. We'll keep talking about health care, such as it is. But I wanted to mention this story because I think this story is great. I started out not caring about this story. In fact, during our uncensored pre-show, I basically said, blank, the Lings. I don't care. And I know it wasn't the Lings. I know it was just Laura Ling. And then there was Una Lee. And then Lisa Lingy or whatever the hell the other Ling is.
Lingy Ling.
What do you mean, Lingy Ling?
Well, what's Ling Ling?
Yeah, I heard that name, too.
Ling Ling? That's the name of a panda bear.
Oh.
So, Lisa and Laura, and they were on the Larry Ling show. I mean, the Larry King show. Or at least one of them was. Two American journalists jubilantly reunited with family and friends early Wednesday upon returning to the United States with former President Bill Clinton, whose diplomatic trip to North Korea secured their release nearly 5 months after their arrests. Yes, it was a triumphant arrival. And we got some audio here of Laura Ling, not to be confused with Lisa, who we did have on the show. And Lisa was over in China trying to figure out where they were getting all the body parts for a lot of the transplants they were doing. And she found out that, at least according to her, well, if they needed a heart or a liver or a lung, they just went ahead and killed a guy. And, oh, we're sorry, your husband fell off of a bridge. Anyway, here is journalist Laura Ling explaining they knew their ordeal would be over after they saw former President Clinton walk into the room, and the first reaction, which was just sort of a hysterical laugh, and then she said,
30 hours ago, Una Lee and I were prisoners in North Korea. We feared that at any moment we could be sent to a hard labor camp. And then suddenly we were told that we were going to a meeting.
Uh-huh. Then what happened? Come on, quit bawling. What happened? What
happened? We were taken to a location and...
Be a woman about it.
When we walked in...
Be a woman.
Through the doors.
All right.
We saw standing before us President Bill Clinton.
And they threw up.
Hey, way to go, Bill.
We were shocked. But we knew instantly in our hearts that the nightmare of our lives was finally coming to an end.
Now, when Clinton walked in, Kim Jong-il said,
"You son of a bitch."
Yeah. All right, now, so anyway, Lin gives thanks to President Clinton as if she didn't do it enough in the first clip.
Now we stand here, home and free. Una and I would just like to express our deepest gratitude to President Clinton and his wonderful, amazing, not to mention super cool team who traveled halfway around the world and then some to secure our release.
Well, you know what I say to that, man? I say, no, I'm just kidding. Here then is President Obama, who was very thankful as well to the to the whole shebang.
No,
that ain't President Obama. Here is President Obama, who is very grateful and thankful. And
I think that not only is this White House obviously extraordinarily happy, but all Americans should be grateful to both former President Clinton and Vice President Gore for their extraordinary work. My hope is that the families that have been reunited can enjoy the next several days and weeks, understanding that because of the efforts of President Clinton and Gore, they are able to be with each other once again.
And Joe Biden said,
"Yay!"
All right, so what, you know, I'm making fun, but you know what, I came to this conclusion. And I don't know why I don't know why I didn't come to it earlier, and I actually had to kick it around with my audience during the Uncensored podcast, our pre-show. I honor what these young women have done. I really do. It suddenly occurred to me, where in American journalism do we have this kind of guts anymore? Where? We've had 8 years, 9 years of journalists looking for a Pulitzer Prize under every rock in Iraq, trying to find the next war crime, trying to criminalize the behavior of American soldiers, or they're trying to criminalize the behavior of American government officials. They think they're really digging for the truth. They're really putting themselves at risk. They're digging into that that Scooter Libby thing. They're digging into that Valerie Plame thing. There's nothing there, and they know there's nothing there. They got an agenda. They think that if they can dig up enough really sweet-smelling horse dung, man, they might even be able to pitch it for the truth. They're not doing anything other than wasting everybody's time, wasting our time, driving newspaper and magazine sales right straight into the tank, taking an entire industry, a news industry, a news journalistic industry, right straight into the ditch, along with their lousy, crappy, gutless reporting. And here you have a couple of young women who went out and actually got covered a story that ought to be covered. Talking about the corruption of the American government and what America's done to ruin the world. By God, the only thing we got between us and the abyss is this country. They went out and took a look at regimes that need scrutiny. These are the little tin horns that are a throwback. These people still think you can do things the old-fashioned way, the 19th century way, the militarist way. They think you can still do things in the czar and czarina fashion. They're torturing and murdering their people. They're starving them to death. They're jeopardizing the peace and security of the world. They're playing games with nuclear weapons. There's no story here when it comes to Bush and Iraq or Obama and the healthcare plan that even begins to compare with what's happening in the rest of the world. The medieval way that these countries react to a diplomatic overture, the medieval way they treat their own people. That's where the stories are. And that's where the guts of these two young women, in my opinion, comes into play. I mean, it took some gut. They could have lost their lives. Now, there was a time in this country when journalists actually put their lives on the line. I mean, as recently as the 1970s, we've often talked about Don Bowles, the Arizonan reporter. I think it was the Arizona Republic, the newspaper he worked for when he was uncovering criminal activity and land sales in Arizona. He lost his life. He had a bomb put in his car. He was blown to bits as a result of his reporting. News commentator in Miami, speaking out against the certain political activists in the Cuban American community in Miami, goes to his car, turns the ignition, blows his legs off. taking on real bad guys, not phony balonies, not tilting at windmills. I mean real bad people, and risking your life to do it. I got nothing but praise for journalists like that. And if it's Laura Ling, if it's her sister Lisa, if it's any of the other journalists out there who really know where the stories are, who really know what the story is to be told, who really know where the danger is, who really know where the rats and the cockroaches of this world, what rocks they hide under, those are the journalists that we ought to be honoring. So you know what? I'm glad they're home. I'm glad they're safe. Thanks, Bill Clinton. Thank whoever the hell did it.
Yay!
You too, Rachel. I'm sure you'll take credit. I'm kidding.
She didn't take any credit. What are you talking about?
I'm kidding. You understand? Those are the people that I think deserve our praise. And so for Laura Ling and all the other journalists who put their lives, you know, they don't go out and they report on some story having to do with some government employee. Maybe there's something, maybe there ain't, you know. And then they go and they retire to the bar and they throw back about 16 cocktails with their buddy, you know, their friends. And they're polishing up their, you know, bull crap for their Pulitzer. Get out of here. You guys are nothing but lightweights. I mean, God. And the proof's in the pudding, Jack. Take a look at how you've had your power absolutely gelded from you. By the internet, by internet bloggers, by non-professionals, you've gotten your asses kicked. All right, we'll be back. That's, you know,
one man's opinion.
Thank you, bud. 877-876 here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. R.C. Collins is, my understanding, your friend R.C. is calling in?
Yeah, I'm kind of calling about I forget about what it is.
I think it's healthcare, right?
Yeah.
He'll be calling in Our World According To, and more of your calls at 877-876, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You know, you're speaking about journalism, but I don't like to read, so I watch TNT. They had Dark Blue in the Closer, my favorite shows.
That's great, man. God, what an idiot. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Closer.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm giving the full number, right, bud?
Yeah. You're giving out part of it.
Sorry, I forgot to give out the full number. A lot of times I do. I'll just go 877-876-877. You know, it's like full. There's a full 10 digits there. Coming up here, we have a story I think you might find interesting, or maybe you think it's just propaganda, but the American Psychological Association, which is, after all, the official oversight association of psychologists in this country, declared on Wednesday that mental health professionals should not tell gay clients they can become straight through therapy or other treatments. In other words, it is, quote unquote, it could be, quote unquote, malpractice to tell them that there is a treatment available, that there is an actual treatment available. Making straight people, or making gay people straight. Now, whether or not the APA knows exactly what it's talking about, that's sort of the official oversight body, as I said. They're the guys that write the rules and the regulations. However, you know, I suppose there's room for debate. Let's take some phone calls. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Bruce. And Bruce, what's going on tonight? Thanks for calling.
I just driving down the road. No, see, you know, I don't have the solution to this healthcare thing, but something needs to be done. But it is totally socialism, this deal with Obama, because the way it is, they say, you know, I heard Rush and them talking, they say out of 40 million people, like 12 million of these are uninsured illegal immigrants that we're going to have to insure. And the rest of that is people between 18 and 30 years old that choose not to have health insurance. And I just changed jobs like 3 months ago, and I chose not to take insurance right off the bat because, I mean, I could have gone to Cobra, but it was going to cost me $600 a month. So I figured I'm just going to wait for my insurance to kick in. But underneath this government plan, when you
What insurance is going to kick in for you, man? What insurance is going to kick in, Bruce?
I'll get my Blue Cross through the company here in 3 months.
Oh, okay.
90 days.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
See, underneath the government deal, you will be forced to get on the government plan right off the bat. You know, you're not.
No, not if you can. You won't, because you've got Blue Cross.
No, because I'm uninsured. They say with the second.
No, but you're going to have your Blue Cross. You're going to have your Blue Cross plan. You're you've just been employed. You've just you've gained employment. Correct? Am I right? Right in.
Right.
Okay, and you've got your plan that's going to kick in for you. So there's no government plan you're going to be forced onto.
Well, that's what they say. They say that this.
Well, you see, can I just, Bruce, listen. Because you're a man who's a working guy, and you care about your country, and you care about what's going on. I would ask you this, all right? When you hear Rush, who's a nice guy, and I know him, and he's a great broadcaster, but when you hear him say illegal immigrant, don't you stop and ask yourself, is this cat conning me with that explosive illegal immigrant word, or is there something to this?
Huh? Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, why
do you? Let me ask you something. Here's a guy he's a talk show host, and that's fine. And I'm not saying that he's a liar, but wouldn't you rather get your information in a more wide ranging manner? Wouldn't you try and see whether or not what he's saying is true?
Okay,
for starters, that's
you.
For starters.
Right.
And wouldn't you also rather find out whether or not you're going to be quote unquote forced onto a government plan as opposed to opting for your Blue Cross right away or finding out if the government doesn't have some contingency for somebody who is going to be on a Blue Cross or other insurance plan so they don't have to go on a government plan? I mean, wouldn't you rather kind of look into this for yourself than listen to a political ideologue who's a great entertainer, but he's a political ideologue, bust out the words illegal immigrant, which you know are designed to get guys like you and me crazy.
Well, you see, you throw all these numbers around. You got Nancy Pelosi saying 500 million people a month losing their job, and there's only 300 million people.
First of all, do you know, Bruce, because I got some information for you, do you know that President Obama told CBS News that he doesn't think illegals should be covered under his health care plan, that the only exception could be illegal immigrant children? This was in the 21st of July, 2009, the president said, I don't want any illegals on there except kids. What are you going to do with kids? Are you not going to cover them?
Right. I agree. But, you know, like you said, look what happened in Hawaii. They bankrupted the system in, what, 7-8 months? You know, how
what happened
do you possibly think?
What do you mean, what happened in Hawaii? They bankrupted the system. Wait a minute, man. We're talking about a national plan, all right,
that
you and I can stay on the insurance that we got. People who can't afford that really top-drawer insurance can go to a government-run brokerage agency, if you will, and find the best plan for them. And only the truly indigent that can't afford any insurance will be put on this national plan. Now, that's the money that we're talking about, okay? And right now, Bruce, your Blue Cross plan includes in it costs that you're going to have to pay for uninsured people out there because there ain't no health care plan. And you don't seem to mind that.
You know what? It's going to come out of our butts one way or another. You know.
So you would opt for the system that doesn't even give you a choice. You opt for the system that doesn't give you the choice. And yet, I bet you're one of these guys. I'm one of them too. That doesn't believe in taxation without representation. But that's what's happened to you right now. Only it ain't the government taxing your ass. It's the insurance companies.
Well, you ain't got nothing to say about it.
You got nothing to say about it.
They're going to take it from you one way or another.
The government ain't taking it right now, man. The health insurance company's taking it, and then they're taking it to Hawaii for a you know whatever the hell they call it, a junket.
Right, right. There's no child left behind. Or
oh,
whatever.
You're digging that though, huh? That's a great system in your mind because Rush thinks it's a good system.
No,
well, brother, that's what's happening, man.
System.
That's the system we got, man. So you gotta. Take a look at that, please, in the name of everything holy, before we all just lose what's left of our minds and our hair. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Samuel in Wichita, Kansas. Samuel, what's going on tonight?
How you doing there, Mr. Henry? I'm glad to find you. I was looking for a political channel, and there you are. It took me about
here
five
we are.
And there you are.
Every night.
Yeah, hey, I listen to you every night, man. I'm a political analyst, and I'm also a reporter for KCTU-TV here in Wichita. And I agree with you that it don't matter if the magician man or the bubble man or whoever comes up with a plan. We need this plan. It's plain and simple as that. The way the system is going, just like you said, we will be bankrupt in no time, and it's just going to get worse. Now, I'm going to tell you the reason why I believe that these Republicans are pushing back on this. Number one, they don't have any power. Number two, they have no answers. And number three, they benefit off people dying, period. Plain and simple as that. Now, I'm not...
All right, Samuel. No, I hear you. I hear you. I gotta run, but that's very well said. I appreciate that very much. Coming up, R.C. Collins and our World According To on the healthcare system. Can't wait to hear this. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, will you hold on the line here, R.C., and I will get to you in just a second. R.C. Collins and our World According To coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL is our number. And don't forget, coming up later in the program, any stories we don't get to, we do eventually do get to those stories that we do, you know, get to. Boy.
Yeah, that's pretty awkward.
All right, well, you know. Also, if you'd like to watch our show, yes, you can watch our show on our live streaming video cast every night at www.philhendryshow.com. You can look at my kisser and go, boy, that poor man. You can also listen to us. You can listen to the live streaming audio. You can listen to our, obviously, our broadcasts and all of our great affiliates. But if you'd like it on demand, if you really want it right when you ask for it, if you want to get it right when you need it, right when you want it, if you want it laid right into your hot little you-know-what, go to our website and you can download on demand at www.philhendryshow.com. John in Nashville. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on tonight?
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I had two things I wanted to say. The first one is... you had a caller on earlier that was talking about Medicare and not being able to receive aftercare for her mother.
Yes, uh-huh.
I grew up in England where they obviously have national health, and that was a pervasive problem with their entire system. The thing that's very interesting about the English, who've had national health for 50-something years, is that the English people are switching to a system very much like our own with private insurance. Because people are dying on waiting lists, waiting to have heart surgery. My English grandmother actually died. She had a 96% blockage in her heart, and they gave her nitroglycerin tablets and said, we can't see you for 3 months. The second thing is, you've been talking about how our president has said, they're not going to take away health care. You have the option. If you actually read the bill on, I think it's page 422 or 432, you have the option to have private health care until such time as you make a change. Then you're required to choose one of the public options.
No, that's not true. No, that isn't true. What is true is that when you do, if you opt for a different plan and you are uninsured during that time, you are required to have some kind of insurance during that bridge period. But you can opt for a different plan anytime you want. So, no, what you just said isn't true.
Okay.
All right. And secondly, as far as the health care in Britain, I don't know. We get a lot of anecdotes. I don't doubt what you're saying, sir. I believe you. I would like more information, but I will tell you that, we talked about the Canadian plan, and my friend who had cancer and got right in and got treated and got aftercare and was right at the top of the list when it comes to a life-threatening ailment. Now, someone who has a blocked arteries in the heart and has obviously your grandmother must have had some kind of a heart attack, and they gave her nitroglycerin tablets and said that they can't see her for three months, even though they knew that she had all of this blockage. If what you're telling me is true, that's the example of a very, very bad national health care plan. But I'll tell you this much, John. The story you just told me about your grandmother with the blocked arteries and dying in not being able to be seen for 3 months and nitroglycerin pills, that happens in this country under this marvelous health care system we have right now. Are you saying that that's a preferable system? I'm not quite sure.
No, what you're saying. No, I'm not at all, actually. I guess really where I'm going with this whole thing is, currently we have national health care plans right now with Medicare and Medicaid, and they're obviously failing. That's pretty much a given, and they're also running out of money. And I just don't see how with, you know.
So we've got a system that's really great. We got a system that's great. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that it can be improved.
What's the point here? You know, that's what I'm trying to say. Obviously, Medicare and Medicaid are running out of money. We don't have enough money. John, we don't have enough money to pay for the private health insurance that we've got right now and cover people who need insurance, who don't have insurance. The insurance companies come to us to up our premiums. The states come to us to up the taxes. Obviously, there's pushback there. California's broke. So there needs to be a change. But you don't want to change, so I don't know.
Well, I didn't say I didn't want to change. I'm just saying that I don't think this is the best option.
And if what's the option then? What exactly are you saying, sir? I'm not sure I know if you even have an option.
I don't claim to have the answers. Well, the point I was about to make is next year, 100% of our GDP and the commitments that our government has will be going to pay off our national, or is the equivalent to our national debt. And that's not including any kind of health care. When your debts equal your national income.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. So what you're saying is this isn't the time. But you know how long this country's been debating health care? It's been 60-plus years. And as Obama said, and echoing the words, by the way, of Ronald Reagan, if we don't do it now, when are we going to do it? If we don't do it, who's going to do it? We've been needing an adjustment here. It is a huge portion of our GDP that's going to health care health care costs right now. And we've got to make a change so that you and I, John, with our health insurance, we don't keep getting gouged to pay for the uninsured, that the taxpayers don't get gouged to pay for the uninsured. The system that's in place right now that so many people are screaming and yelling they want to hold on to because they don't like Obama's socialized system is murdering them, and they don't even have a choice in how much they're paying. Do you understand that? So let's take a look at this. Here's a plan that says you can have the insurance you got, you got. Cheaper plans can be made available, and the national plan is available to those who are indigent. You say we can't afford that. We can't afford anything right now that we're doing. Do you understand that? We got nothing that we can afford. There's not a thing we can afford. We can't even afford a military. We can't afford a police force. We can't afford Social Security. There's nothing in this country that we can afford. What I'm saying is, sooner or later, you have to, as Alexander Hamilton taught us way back in the day, spending money that you don't have sometimes is necessary, especially if you pay it back. And we know this from history, that even when the deficits we were running under Ronald Reagan were enormous, and we had at that time bordering on a $2 trillion debt, and H. Ross Perot was reminding us that we were about to go belly up and our grandchildren were all going to die of starvation, we somehow found our way out of that. The choice is either we make these changes now and prepare ourselves for the 21st century and pay for that, pay it off, and pay it off as quickly and as judiciously as we can, or we just don't do anything, all right, and let the country become a shadow of its former self as the Indias and the Brazils and the Chinas and the Russias and all these other countries blow our doors off on the way to the future.
Oh, I agree that we're getting our doors blown off. There's no question about it. The one last thing I wanted to say is you just said talking about we're getting gouged to help pay for people who don't have health care. If we go to a national health system, then we're still paying for people who aren't paying their taxes. And if you give it cover for everybody, then the people that aren't working and so on, my tax dollars still pay.
Right, but you'd prefer to pay for them now where you don't even have a choice, where it's the health insurance industry that's making the decision, not the Congress, not the elected representatives.
Even if we still have a private health system and the public option, my tax dollars are still going to pay for the public option, whether I'm using
it. And right now, your money's going to pay for a public option that you have no say in. Right now, your money is going to pay for a public option that you have no say in.
Yeah, it's already going to Medicare and Medicaid.
You're fine. No, not Medicare, not Medicaid. And I'm talking about your health insurance premiums. Is anybody listening here, or are you guys just playing this ideology game? Your money right now is going to pay off for those people, and you got no say in it. The health insurance company tells you what you're going to pay, when you're going to pay it, and how you're going to pay it. And you, John, and me, Phil, we got nothing to say about it. And people are saying that's a preferable system to go into the Congress of the United States and the President of the United States and make it a change. Now, somebody's got to wake up here. Oh, get out of here. Get out of here. Oh, my God.
What are you all mad about? You're R.C.
Oh, I forgot. We got R.C. Collins. Let me go over here to R.C. Collins. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. R.C. Collins is a junior at Bradley Military Academy. R.C., how you doing tonight?
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm doing pretty good, but I got to tell you, I'm probably more in favor of what I'm hearing on a lot of the calls than I am of the thing of what you said. And I do have Commandant Wireman, who's on the other line right now.
Well, I didn't know we were going to have Commandant Wireman. Did you know that, Bud?
Yeah, I knew he was going to come on.
Commandant Wireman, are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm right here. I wanted to come on the line because I felt that Cadet Collins gets a point counterpoint.
Yeah, we wanted to have point counterpoint, and he would be against me, and I would be in favor of me.
Right. So you'd be making your point.
Oh, yeah, of course you'd be in favor of you. I'd be in favor of me, but that's the point counterpoint. Forgive the noise, Phil. Right now we're in a boiler room below the gymnasium because they're reflooring the gymnasium, and they told us to clear out. We had no idea that we'd be down here.
Yeah, it's very temporary. The boiler room is where we generally do our calisthenics, and we have our drill team and everything.
And I told you not to use the term drill team. In any event,
you said not with drill team the way that I did say it.
All right, hold on. So who's going to go first?
What?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Who's going to start?
Oh, I'll start.
Commandant Wireman will start because he's the
I'm the commandant.
Yeah, he's the commandant.
Phil, I feel we need health care. I need health care, and I think even a young person such as Cadet Collins needs health care. You can hear I've got what is called a lower glottal the lower glottal phlegm blockage, or it's otherwise known as the lower glottal phlegm roadblock or gut block, and I've suffered from this since I gave up cigar smoking. It's a chronic ailment, and I need tubing at least twice a week.
What is tubing?
Well, that's when they goes to the hospital.
I'll do it. Thank you very much. I can explain. Tubing is generally when they put tubes into the throat area. And my insurance through the Bradley Military Academy health plan enables me to go and have this done. Now, with a national health care plan, I'd have to rely on a national plan, and I'd be in there with every kind of, you know.
Yeah, that's the point, Mr. Henry. We honor Commandant Wireman as an individual who's helped be. I'm a little bit nervous.
That's all right.
Yeah, you sound like a retard.
Oh, yeah, I sound like a retard.
Budge, why don't you butt out?
Who was that speaking?
Hold on. I want each of you guys to speak. And then, all right, so go ahead, Cadet Wireman.
I'm a commandant. I'm not a cadet, G.D.
Yeah, no, I'm a cadet.
All right, I'm sorry, Cadet Collins, go ahead.
Well, I agree with Commandant Wireman that he is a person that we've got to honor, and we don't want him going on a public plan where he's sitting there with, you know, illegal Mexicans and stuff.
Yeah, that's my only concern.
All right. Well, did you hear, gentlemen, both hear the quote from President Obama that he does not want people, he doesn't want illegal immigrants on any national health care plan?
I question seriously whether... Damn. I question seriously...
Here, let me help you.
The hell are you doing? You're breaking my back.
I tried to hit his back, Mr. Henry, to get the cheese wedge out.
It's not a cheese wedge. Mr. Henry...
Go ahead.
Yeah, the plan that I, the Bradley military plan, which, what did you do?
Well, the wedge is in.
He probably got wedged.
Hey, look at man, we're having a debate on health care or we're providing health care. What do you mean he got wedged?
Well, a lot of the lower glottal cheese, the lower glottal roadblock.
Yeah, it's blocked in. But this is an example of why we need it. So, Commandant, I mean, Cadet, or whatever, what are you, Cadet?
Yeah, you're the Commandant.
Cadet Wireman is, forget it, I can't.
And I agree with the fact that, and if they let Charles Manson out, are they going to insure him? Yeah. Yeah, they are.
I don't believe that.
What do you mean if they let Charles Manson out?
If they let Charles Manson out, are they going to insure him? Yes, they are.
If they let Charles Manson out, are they going to insure him? Yes, they are. The likelihood of Charles Manson getting out is slim to none. And anyway, he's got insurance right now.
And well, how dare they? Where are you getting that information?
He's in prison. They have health care for inmates.
Well, that means logically, I ought to get myself arrested for something. And
well, I know what you could get arrested for, the thing you've been doing all along.
What's that?
Sneaking into the cadets' rooms after midnight and doing stuff with them.
Why, you filthy little bastard.
All right, gentlemen, this has gotten way up.
No. All right, it's time for you to kiss the gunner's daughter. Mr. Henry, take him below for the makings.
I don't know what you're talking about yet again.
All right. Oh, that's right, I forgot. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Boy, I enjoy that.
All right, thank you very much for the health care. That was the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life.
I didn't know the guy had a glottal roadblock.
A glottal roadblock, huh? 877... You will kiss the gunner's daughter. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, police say the Pennsylvania gym shooter had a lot of hatred of women. Wow, that's a lot of hatred of women. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back in a world-famous Phil Hendry show. What?
I'm okay.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry show. Phil Hendry.
You know, guys, all of this talk about health care, let's talk about those of us who are fat asses and can do something about our health. You know, there's some things that are out of your control, but some things are certainly within our control. And one of them is the weight, man, the weight. You know, lard, you know, lugging around that tub of lard we call an ass is enough to, first of all, you're going to get winded. You're going to get tired. You're going to, you know, you can't get anything done. On top of everything else, man, all that fat weighing on your heart. I don't know how much weight you got on. I know that I had, you know, where I want to go from 240 to 210, and I have lost now on the MetaFast diet 12 pounds. I'm down to 228 pounds. Brother, I'm almost halfway home, and I've done that in a period of 6 weeks on MetaFast. Let me tell you about MetaFast. I believe in MetaFast. The meals are delicious. You eat five meals a day. One of them is a meal that you put together yourself, a lean and green meal. That's chicken. It could be a steak, a salad, or vegetables. And the other four meals that you're eating during the day are your MetaFast meals that you get right from MetaFast. They're formulated with low-fat protein and fiber. They're fortified with vitamins and nutrients. So you lose pounds, you lose inches, you don't lose out on essential nutrition, and they've got over 70 meal options. And I just got, and talk about options, man, everything from pretzel sticks and snacks like that to Maryland crab or cream of broccoli, chilies, delicious shakes, the Dutch chocolate shake, man, that thing is out of control. I love it. And satisfying energy bars, it's all there. And all you got to do is go to MetaFastPhil.com to check out the entire plan. Find out about MetaFast, how it's been recommended by more than 15,000 doctors since 1980. 15,000 doctors since 1980 putting their patients and recommending the MetaFast plan to people. MetaFastPhil.com. MEDIFAST, Phil, PHIL.com. Visit them. And they offer programs for men and for women and even people with type 2 diabetes. So you can't beat a terrific plan to get healthy, a very, very healthy plan indeed, with the meals that will help you lose these pounds and inches that are full of low-fat protein and fiber and vitamins and nutrients, and you'll lose that weight safely, and you'll lose it quick, too. That's MetaFastPhil.com. Visit them online. All right, Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-PHIL. One little story I wanted to get to. Paula Abdul is not going to be back for a ninth season of American Idol. Now, I know that this is really shaking up a lot of people. I know Jace, what about you, bud?
I don't care.
Well, Paula Abdul, who's, you know, seen her ups and her downs, apparently, this is the story, she won't be back for ninth season. Quote, with sadness in my heart, I've decided not to return to Idol, she wrote on Twitter late Tuesday. I'll miss nurturing all the new talent, but most of all, being a part of a show that I helped from day one become an international phenomenon. The word is that they're not re-upping her deal, or that she wanted too much money and she was advised to just go ahead and take a hike, sweetheart, because we don't have the bread to pay you. We gave it all to Ryan Seacrest. Who are you kidding? Which I think is a very big tactical error, but nonetheless. Fox released a statement calling Abdul a tremendous talent and saying that she's been an important part of the American Idol family over the last eight seasons, but she's gotten to be a little bit of a pain in the ass, and we're saddened to see her decide not to return to the show. They didn't say that. They said, we are saddened that she decided not to return to the show. Well, she decided not to return to the show because Fox came up with a number, and it was about $85 million less than what she wanted, or something like that. MTV.com reports on why Abdul may have quit. The New York Times reported that Abdul... Oh, well, then the New York Times reported MTV. What are you taking credit for it? Anyway, here she is.
Jason, the first song, I loved hearing your lower register, which we never really hear. The second song, I felt like your usual charm was missing from me. It kind of left me a little empty.
Now, what's wrong with that piece of audio? He didn't sing two songs. He only sang one. Was she high? Was she sick? Was she feverish? Okay.
You're kidding.
No, she said, your second song? There wasn't a second song. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, or online at philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.